Mike and Leona gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 9 of Survivor 42. My name is Mike Bloom here for a double dip, a double doozy, a big episode of Survivor 42 as we go from 10 to 8 in a blink of an eye with some very surprising, very important conversations happening in what has been a very, very fun season so far. Now, of course, I am not alone by this. We have two boots. We have two panelists as well to break it all down. Of course, let me welcome in somebody who as reliable to the B&B as the chicken kebabs are to a healthy, balanced diet. Leona Boris. Leona, how are you?
I believe they were beef kebabs, Mike. Okay, don't get it twisted. I think you said beef and vegetables. Did I make that? I know this is obviously the most important thing that happened in this episode, so I'm really happy that we're stopping down to talk about it. Yes, I am happy to be here, and I think we got a lot to discuss.
Very much so. And that laugh you may have heard before is possibly a familiar one, not just to listeners of the B&B, but listeners to podcasts in general, because, of course, he is known for his fantastic work on the Maximum Fun Network, including My Brother and Me, The Adventure Zone, Sawbones, Besties Outside of Maximum Fun, etc. His voice is out there. And right now, he is here today, dressed to impress in his best Jeff Probst realness. So happy to welcome back to the B&B, Justin McElroy. Justin, how you doing?
Hi, what a pleasure it is. Thank you so much for having me. It's a delight, truly.
Yeah, I love the cosplay this episode. Really going for it at Tribal. Also, the Zoom background. So if you're not watching the video, you're missing out. I think it's really fitting for what we have this episode.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I feel really good about it. I needed to get into the moment.
Yeah, I like it as well, because the picture is of people at Tribal Council, and it almost inspires me this idea of you are Jeff Probst and you have like chosen to turn your back on the contestants, and much like he has been doing the past several episodes, talk to us directly about what is going on.
Love that. Always love that when Jeff does that. It's like, doesn't it feel like an attack? Like, Jeff, I'm trying to watch TV right now, so don't look at me, please. Please don't look at me. I'm trying to watch television.
Yeah, I'm using this to distract me from being me. So if I could just like focus on you guys and not bring me into this.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of the experience.
Yeah, right? No, I'm good.
The problem was he didn't do it for the entire first half of the season, right? And we're like, okay.
Oh, so it's over.
That's done. Okay. And then like it dips his head back in like, oh, you thought you were done. But no, I'm sneaking back up on you. Let's remind you about everything that happened in Survivor 41.
Have there been weird ARG clues this season? Is that how you let go of?
Yeah, that got left behind.
Okay, good. That was even more jarring. That was like two jarring things at once.
No, I love the ARG clues. I want like Pokemon Go for Survivor of like go out into the wild and like catch Rupert, you know, by City Hall or something. You could be.
It was for kids, right? It was like, hey, good news, you can watch Survivor with your kids now because we put Rebuses in it. Rebuy?
Oh, of course.
Into the show. Your kids love Rebuses, right?
Yeah.
Rebuy. I don't know the plural of Rebus.
Reebok, I believe.
Reebok.
Yeah, that's what kids are into these days. Yeah. Really finger on the pulse of what the youth are interested in.
Well, they didn't even announce, like, all these things made their way into Survivor 41, and they just said, like, they could have, I mean, I guess they didn't want to remake the same puzzles, right? Like, you could repaint a piece of the set, you can redo a twist, you have the props. I guess they couldn't make, what, 14 more of these Reeboks to put around the set.
Yeah, it was I missed that. It was a fun like what's happening. It's very jarring, but now Jeff is talking to us again, so I guess we'll have to make do with that.
Yeah, a little flavor of that back in here.
Yeah,
what's the flavor of, I love that question, by the way, of just Jeff asking what the flavor is of the day. It's such like an AI programmed question.
Speaking of talking to the audience, I am sad that I was not here to talk about the last episode, because a lot of people have their like favorite Survivor things that they're thrilled to see, right? Like my wife is, it's the auction for her. Mm. She desperately misses. She loved the auction.
Oh, wow.
Desperately misses the auction, which I like the auction because it is this like weird, subtle reminder that fiat currency is actually like just an idea that we've all created. And once the auction's over, you have meaningless slips of paper anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. using for kindling. You're mm-hmm. on Survivor now. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my favorite is branded rewards. Is like my favorite. I can remember one that was like Doritos and Mountain Dew. You got mm-hmm. like Doritos and Mountain Dew. The best though was, you're going to go to a private movie theater with popcorn where you will watch an exclusive screening of Jack Black's Gulliver's Travels.
Yes. Everyone talks about Jack and Jill. Not a lot of people talk about like the original one, which was Jack Black's Gulliver's Travels and the theme challenge around yes. Gulliver's Travels.
So funny. And then yes. in this last episode when he was like, and the reward this week, Applebee's. That's home. That's family. That's food. Like Applebee's. And everyone in the place is like, yes. Yes, we're living for it. Applebee's. They had four people in Applebee's shirts yep. that they flew to Fiji in the middle of a pandemic to hand wings to people. That's Survivor. I'm loving that. That's fantastic.
That's a different sponsor. That's McDonald's.
I mean, I don't know if this is better or worse for you, Justin, but I know Dalton Ross, who's a reporter, clocked this. Those were not Applebee's employees. Those were Survivor production members. So one of them was like a producer, like a flat out producer.
Just wore the shirt. Oh, it's even better.
To hand out gummy shark bowls to these like starving castaways.
So great. Mm-hmm. Watching Jonathan eat those chicken wings is not something that I'm going to be able to recover from anytime soon. That man was demolishing them.
Yeah, it's no 18 eggs and 9 slices of cheese, but okay. It is.
Oh, good. We're going to speak on this. Okay, good. This is another thing that my wife and I have been fixated on lately. How did he arrive at 9? How did he get eat 10 one day and like, oh, God, no. Or like he get 8 and he's like, just another pecan of cheese, I think. Just another touch of cheese.
So it's 2 eggs per slice of cheese. So my head went to,
okay. Does it okay.
go together? Does he make like an egg sandwich with like the eggs or the slices of bread with a cheese?
We know it's not bread. We know bread's not involved with it. Look at this man. Bread is not part of the, yeah.
No, are you thinking like, so you're thinking like the double down, Liana, where it's the bread right. or the okay, yes. fried eggs yes. and then the piece of cheese is in the middle.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? In my head, they were hard boiled, but you know what? If they're fried, that actually makes more sense because you have 2 eggs with the slice of cheese in between. Okay.
Yes.
Maybe it's that's what it is.
We call it the Gaston. It's just full.
He just grows hair on your chest automatically. Yeah. But imagine then he has 9 of those. So he just houses 9 of the Jonathans every single morning. And that's what he would do while his dad like tells him to go run up a mountain just to like start the day.
So that one day he can be on Survivor.
That's what he's been training for.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan and all, Justin, you know, you came on during Survivor 41. The new era is now like something we are firmly in. What have been your thoughts about Survivor 42? You know, we copied and pasted a lot of stuff from Survivor 41 structure-wise, including the fact that we did the exact same spot of the split tribal council here. Are you liking, you know, the duplicate, the off-brand, I would say, of Survivor 41? Is it working better for you, worse for you?
You know, I'm mixed. I like the smaller cast. I think it's smart because I feel like you don't have a lot of cruft early on that you're like sort of sorting through. The storylines would be so rapid when you had more contestants in this that they were just kind of blowing through. So I find the accelerated pace is good. I do worry, especially with like the split tribal vote. I worry that we're going to push even deeper. There was definitely an era for quite a few seasons where voting blocks were the thing more than alliances, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I worry that there is a danger at this point of like going so Calvin Ball with it that like it's not going to make sense to play as much of a social game, or people are going to be playing so much that there's no time to just like exist, which is what I feel like we've lost a little bit in these 2 seasons is like, there's not as much time of people just like connecting as human beings and like living in this environment, right? You see so much less of like people dealing with the elements and stuff like that, because it's, there's so much gameplay to get through because it's shifting so rapidly past expectations. But I understand why you would want to do that, but it does, like, it gets to this point of like, why even have alliances if, you know, they could just randomly like be shuffled up and end up with the wrong draw. I don't know.
I think that's one of the side effects of having that 26-day season, is that you're just forcing so much. And like you said, Justin, there's less just sitting in it, just making those connections, just having a day where nothing is happening, because that's not what you can do in a 26-day season.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit harder to track people, actually, like, because of that. There have been a few times this season. Do y'all have this experience where you're like watching Survivor and it's maybe like the fourth or fifth episode and they do a confessional with somebody and it's like, who are you? Sorry, are you on the TV show Survivor? Because you have not been a character on this so far. Happy to have you. Don't get me wrong, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an unfortunate side effect that, like, especially when you give so much shrift early on to like the early boots, right? Like the people who flame out, sometimes that comes at the expense. We saw this last season where we gave so much to people like JD and Brad, and it was at the expense of like our eventual winner, who did not get a lot of footage at the beginning of the season. So then when her episode came around, we're like, oh yeah, you're a thing. I do think season 42 is doing a better job overall of, like, I feel like I got a good sense of pretty much everyone going into the merge, with maybe the exception of Lindsay, but I think it was just due to the fact that like she didn't really have like a big personal moment or package that popped entirely. Now, listen, coming out of this episode, I think we are the highest on Lindsay than maybe we have ever been for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
But I would say overall, like, it's a group that I think, whether it's due to the editing or due to just like the personalities that happen to be there, they seem to be more across the board able to pop and show themselves as opposed to maybe previous seasons.
I would also say that to this new era, I do feel like the advantages and immunities and all that is getting a little out of hand. Like when Drea had that scene last episode where she's like, so I got this and I got this piece of paper here that does a reverse of my vote, and then I got this other idol here. It's like, we've gone too far. How am I supposed to track that? Like, I can't run this math. You know what I mean? Like, going into tribal, it's always fun to, like, we always pause and we're like, okay, so he's going to go there. She's doing this. But if he does this, you can't do that at this point. There's so many, like, little tweaks and gimmicks to keep track of. Some I like, some are like, I really like the secret passphrase thing. I think that's hilarious. Like, I'll watch that all day long because it's entertaining TV, right?
Right.
I don't love the like prisoner's dilemma risk reward thing. I feel like there's a lot of airtime to get to something that's like kind of a binary, like not that interesting decision in the end. I don't know. So that would be one that I would like let go of. But I think the secret passphrase is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am also a huge fan of the secret passphrase. That's so funny. Make more people say silly, stupid stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. And you have people who are like better at integrating it. And then there's Mike who's like, okay, so soccer, the game of soccer. I used to coach soccer. Let me start over because I don't think I said it. Soccer.
Can we take it from one people, please? Wait, hold on. Can we take two here? The thing about Dre that's so interesting is like, ordinarily, to your point, Justin, there are so many to keep track of that like we would get very confused about, okay, so this person has this and this person has this, but now we have the exact opposite problem where Drea can now sort of has a janitor's keys set of powers where she's like, okay, this one doesn't work, all right, let me try the knowledge of power, we're not going to use that today, all right, here's my extra vote, where like now things are so concentrated, it's like, well, either things are so scattered they get confusing,
right,
or they're so concentrated that it makes one person incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And they all do different things. So the other analogy I was thinking was the Swiss Army knife, where then it's not like, oh, she's got four idols or four extra votes. It's like an amulet that has to be combined with two other people's things in order to do something, unless another person goes out, in which case it becomes, you know what I mean? And then the extra vote and then the idol. And that. So, yeah, it's a lot.
Justin, do you have any standouts from this cast? Are there people who have gone or people that are still in the game of like people who are popping for you one way or the other?
I think Omar is playing a really smart, interesting game. Like a very pleasant player who seems to be really target for, like, no one seems to ever have Omar's name in their mouth. Like, doesn't come up. Doesn't, I don't know. Omar seems like universally liked. Like, I don't know. He's a lot of fun to watch play. Very smart, like working a lot of different angles all the time, which is my favorite kind of player. Somebody who's like that tension of like, oh, you've told like 8 different people that you're, like Swati did that much less effectively, I think, where it was like, I told 8 people they're my number one. It took one conversation between 2 of those 3 people to be like, hold on a second. She told you that. She told me that. I really was enjoying Jonathan, which we could talk about that in a second. Not unenjoying Jonathan, but I think there's some further conversation. I loved his conversation with Mike, where it's like, God, it's hard being a beefcake, right? Mike's like, yeah, I hear you, man. That's tough. I can really relate to that. It's nice to see my struggles represented. Talk about representation. Finally, us beefcakes are hearing our plight. How much did you want Jonathan to be like, when Drea and Marianne were talking, how much did you want Jonathan to be like, you know, it's funny, I was talking with Mike about a very similar thing. Beefcakes have a really hard time too. So it is, you like, I get where you're coming from.
I'll stuff my own torch now. Thank you. I realize I should not have said that.
Hey, Jeff, I'm just going to swim.
I'll just go back to America now. I know I'm on the jury, but like, you don't need me at this point. Yeah, it's been a lot. And look, let me also just say, like, at the pseudo top here, I think suffice it to say, as 3 white people, I think we're very much going to take a page out of the Lindsay camp and more so encourage people to like listen rather than voice our opinions about a lot of the incredibly important and incredibly valid conversations going on here. My heart does go out to Drea and Marianne for like both what they were compartmentalizing, internalizing, externalizing, and ultimately vocalizing. I would really encourage people to check out, you know, Jamal talked with Rob. We had Bryce and Wendell on the Purple Pants podcast. Sasha was on with Rob as well. Some BIPOC individuals from the Survivor community giving really fantastic, nuanced, and essential opinions about how this should all be couched, why it ended up being the way it did from all sorts of angles. So if you feel a certain way about Tribal Council, and I'm sure you certainly do, I really encourage people to check that out. You know, we certainly fill our own sort of niche here, so I won't say we're going to fully concentrate on that, but I just wanted to put that out there. And of course, you know, how incredibly vital it was, especially in this day and age, to be able to watch, you know, everything being thrown out there in the open. It is an emotional, it is a messy game, especially this season. And the mess was personified in a different way, in my opinion, with that stuff.
Yeah, I think I was hesitant about when I watched this episode. I was like, oh, this is the one I'm going to talk about. And I don't obviously there's some really important stuff happening in this episode that I don't feel qualified to speak on. So the best I feel like I can just, obviously, that being said, like that the conversation that is happening on a broader spectrum is not one that I'm qualified to address, other than to say white people should listen to, when black people are talking about the experience of being a black person, I think it's a pretty good place to start. I will say, and Dahl made this point, like I saw some accusations and they were predicting it in the episode of people like, you're playing the race card to survive another day. And obviously that's what they were concerned about. And that's why they played their idols, to prove that that's not what was happening. But Dalton made a really good point that like people wrestling with the moral ramifications of their actions on the game and the game itself is not like outside the bounds of Survivor. It is Survivor, right? Like that is the essential question of this show. That is like what keeps me coming back. And what I think a lot of people keeps them coming back is like, if you can say that your entire life is a game that you are trying to win, at what point do you have a morality within the game, right? Like, if you swear to someone on the life of a loved one and then betray them, did you actually commit a moral wrong, or were you did they make the mistake by like trusting you outside of the bounds of survival? Like outside, like game aside, I swear, you know, on this real world thing that you then turn your back on. Like, did you actually do something wrong? Like, is it wrong, or is anything permitted within Survivor, obviously, aside from, you know, physically damaging people or sexual harassment or any of the other like actual criminal actions that would get you kicked off Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a line that has been a discussion since the beginning of Survivor and will continue to be a discussion throughout the existence of Survivor, which yep. is where do you draw this line? Is it a line? You know, how do certain people feel about it? Because this isn't a tabula rasa situation. You have all these people with preconceived notions and experiences and things that they are bringing to the game. And that's what makes it so fun. And that's what makes it so interesting, because you have this diverse group of people all coming with these different viewpoints, but it can also put a lot of people in some sticky situations and make us viewers have to confront that as well, as we are experiencing that and seeing that and sort of asking all of those questions of, would I feel okay with this? You know, how do I feel like I would respond in that situation? And so I think that that's where it's the turning the lens back on society as a whole that is such a crucial part of what Survivor is.
It was also interesting to watch in this episode where these are conversations that like Probst and the Survivor team, I think, are not afraid of having, that they've proven in this past two seasons. But I think this was night and day from the conversation last season about how does everyone feel about me saying, like, that was an example of like Jeff wanting to have a conversation and then forcing that conversation. And that was icky. And I think everybody was kind of like, don't do that. This was a very organic, like this was like, and this they handled much more tastefully, I think, because they let the conversation like happen, which I think you're going to have as you are focusing more on creating diverse casts. Like these more interesting conversations will organically happen. And I really, I think it's cool that they're making a space to have like pretty tough conversations in what is on its surface a pretty like cheeseball reality TV show.
Yeah, I think making the space is a really great way to put it. And look, like some people have called tribal council theater, right? Some people have called it like the space where not everything is as it seems. But I really, again, do give credit to Drea and Marianne for like feeling in that moment. And part of it may have been just due to like the maelstrom of emotions of seeing Chanel and Rox Roy sitting next to each other on the jury. But to like be so upfront, and especially to an audience of millions of people, and doing these things like that, that I think is what is most admirable to me, is making those decisions and showing themselves. They've shown themselves to be vulnerable in many ways just by going onto the show in the first place. But mm-hmm. like having that wherewithal to say, you know, I'm not only going to open up about what I've been living with to everyone here, but to like all of these people watching at home, and even have to like couch my decisions in some of that partly, is incredibly valuable, because there are these moments that reach outside of the island and, you know, sort of grabs the whole world in its arms. And quite literally, they did that here.
I do have to speak on Jonathan for just one second. I can only, and this is another point Dalton made in his excellent write-up, like, I can only speak to Jonathan Young Survivor character, right? Because there's an edit here that happens in these conversations. And like, that is, you pays your money, you takes your chances. Like, you know that going in, that there will be an edit, and like, there could be much more of this conversation that we did not see that would have like contextualized what Jonathan said. So to Jonathan, the Survivor character, not Jonathan Young, human being in Alabama, who, by the way, when asked for three words to describe himself on the Survivor website, went with endurance, devoted, and mentally strong. So the okay, so Jonathan goes with first attempts to shut down what Drea and Marianne are talking about and saying like, well, that's not us, she's making us all look racist. And it's like, oh, Jonathan, stop, Jonathan, don't do this. Okay, well, that's fine, just whatever you do, don't say aggressive. Oh no, he just, why, Jonathan?
No.
Why, what? Do you people not get media training or something going into Survivor? Like, nothing. I understand, like, your life experience maybe, like, but woofa doofa, he just went from like real person to like, oh, we're having a conversation about race. Let me turn this into like an instructional training video that you would watch before you start working at Olive Garden, like about like subconscious racism.
Yeah. Like, they like pause, like, well, now do you see what did Jonathan do?
What did Jonathan do wrong?
like, oh God, everything.
Oh man.
And then he's like, before he's like, I'm gonna make some big moves. Like, yeah, you are, bud. You're real big moves, real right big into move. The canoe, right off the island.
I think for me, this boils down and like, hey, fellow white people, first of all, it's not about you. What it's about the people who are experiencing duress, right? Which is what Lindsay says about Drea, which is I've never sat in their shoes. That vote brought something out in them, right? And I think that that is clearly what happened, is that I cannot empathize with what Drea and Marianne have gone through. But what I can do is I can listen and I can hear what they're trying to explain and what they're trying to tell me, which is that, hey, seeing this brings up these feelings of implicit bias, of these discriminatory practices that may have happened both in real life and maybe on, and definitely on Survivor, right? And so that's eliciting this response. And so when Drea and Tori have an interaction at the beginning where Tori says, she, meaning Drea, wants to make a stand. I don't think that's necessary. Drea says, she's not in my shoes. And that's the biggest thing, which is recognizing what other people are telling you and really practicing active listening to understand what they're telling you. Because that's where Jonathan made that major misstep, which was, no, that's not what Drea and Marianne are saying. They're not calling you racist. They're talking simply about how seeing Roxroy and Chanel on the jury made them feel. That's all they're talking about. And so the active listening part, really key here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jonathan had some difficulty with numbers to begin with when it came to like the whole plan in general of like vote out Drea and have her throw a vote onto Marianne. Maybe we should have seen it firsthand, considering that, to Justin's point, he may not be able to count to three.
Oh, that's unfair. Fair of you, Mike. I can't believe you'd say that about Jonathan. I merely implied it. So that's your interpretation.
He has the 2-to-1 ratio down when it comes to eggs to cheese. That's all that matters at this point.
That's right. You don't want to over cheese.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's start talking about the people who ended up getting voted out here, because in the midst of, like, again, some incredibly vital conversations, we also did have a double boot going on. And we can sort of parse out some conversations about these people proper through it, because these were two fairly big characters of the season as well. We got to start with Roxroy. Yeah. Justin, I want to hear all your thoughts about Roxroy, because talk about like a character slash, if you're talking about voting blocks, this is a guy who I think a lot of people had said seemed like he had time traveled from 2005 Survivor into 2022 Survivor.
Yeah, I like, I will say, the only reason I am glad to see Roxroy gone is hearing people talk about rocks and choosing between this person and rocks made me think they're talking about going to rocks. And it was always very confusing for me. Like, wait, you would go to rocks for this person? Like, no, okay. You mean Roxroy? Got it. Perfect. I really liked Roxroy. I can see, because I never quite knew where he was going to come from. Like, I really like, he was like a pretty direct player, which I liked. He was like active and doing a lot of stuff. I could see his play seemed to be a little erratic, which I could see was probably going to be his undoing. When you get to this point in the game, everyone is feeling so paranoid all the time that I think you want like calm, even tempered, like not calm emotionally, but like consistency, which I feel like Rox was someone who was a little bit more dynamic and active in the game, which I feel like might have been his undoing.
I think he was also seen as an immovable object to a certain extent. And that's why Omar was,
he was a rock.
Yeah. He was literally between a rock and a hard place. And that's why I think one of the reasons also why he went out, definitely.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though, because on paper, if it's like, okay, let's get rid of the unpredictable flighty guy or the guy where we always know they can stand, you almost always go with the former. But in this case, because Omer had that relationship with Romeo, he said, yes, Roxroy is reliably never going to work with me. Why do I want to keep him around? And so I think it was a really interesting thing what he was able to pull off. He was able to bring together two guys that got into an argument the day before to vote together. But I really enjoyed Roxroy. Again, there's just something really refreshing in modern day Survivor to have a guy who is like a little bit bullheaded, a very confident in who he is, and very fixated on like very simple things like loyalty and shelter. those were mainly the two to be able to like make his way through the game, foibles and all.
It's and really- the glasses. Oh, boy, am I going to miss seeing those. That was a highlight of my evening every time he would don those. Thrilling. Thrilling.
I was so they didn't explain them until he went to the summit on Shipwheel Island. It was just they would just show up randomly every once in a while. It was
which
sort
is
of
weird.
Explained. Yeah.
Things. It's like your grandma puts them on to read the newspaper. It's like, what does he read it? Like, I don't understand. Why does he not need these? Either he needs them or he doesn't need them. It's bizarre.
Yeah, but I love them. I hope he wears them on the jury as well. I hope he has several styles of them now that he doesn't need to worry about like losing. And now that they were in his suitcase, he can like now just fashion. Really. As well. Right, I mean, right. We don't have Ponderosa videos for this season. I would imagine that Rolls-Royce would have just been like a whole fashion show to Chanel and Tory as he showed off all of his glasses that he was wearing. Mm-hmm. So, Liana, Rolls-Royce was a little enigmatic preseason, right? When it came to us coming up with our predictions here. How did you think he was going to do?
So I did say that he would make the jury. I will tell you, I was higher on him preseason than once we started to learn more about Rolls-Royce. But I had him almost pretty much in the same spot because I predicted that him and Drea would be the two remaining people from the blue tribe. And at the split tribal, when Drea has immunity, Jenny, remember her, sees an opportunity to blindside Rolls-Royce. So I did think that he would go at the split tribal council. I also said that he would find the beware advantage, but just leave it right where he found it and not even open it. Mm. I said he would not play his shot in the dark. His ally would be Drea and his enemy would be Jenny.
Okay, interesting. So, Justin, for my prediction of this, I don't know if you know about this. There is a software called Brant Steel that allows you to, through an AI, generate Survivor seasons. Completely generated.
That's hilarious.
So I put these castaways into a Survivor simulator and I had it essentially write the story for me. It was not particularly high on Rolls-Royce. He did get voted out before the merge, right before the merge, 13th place. According to this simulation, he got injured early on, but he still does not get voted out. He ends up getting swapped onto a tribe where like it's four Taku members and him. But his work ethic allows him to like get in well with pretty much everybody. Like they all love Rolls-Royce. But then like he decides to make a big move and target Jackson. Speaking of remember someone, and they decide to vote him out because of it. His closest ally was Jonathan and his enemy was Jackson. And I also generated a phrase for this, a la those past phrases that you love so much. Rolls-Royce's phrase was, "Don't let it get wet."
His glasses?
Could have been his glasses. Could have been him.
Yes.
I mean, fire. It could have been him like yelling at someone when making the fire, right?
That's
he like
true.
Yeah, a lot, yelling, don't let it get wet.
Yeah. Yeah, that was seems like Rolls-Royce's main motivation. Even in this episode at the beginning, he was like, no one else cares about the shelter or fire. Only Jonathan and I care about the shelter.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? That he's like he went out doing the same thing he walked in doing, being like, these darn kids are just sitting around all day singing their Survivor songs, doing their TikToks. I don't know what TikTok is. I'm just sitting here trying to build a damn fire and not let it get wet. Well, I think, Liana, you win that prediction, I think, pretty squarely.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the least of your concerns. Yeah. I thought he had jury. Like, I got literally everything wrong about Rolls-Royce.
I want to say also, okay, two things. You talk about the beware advantage, and there's two other things in this new iteration where it's just like, no, I cannot ever see coming back because they are always such a huge nothing burger. And the first one is the beware. Like, they're always going to take, like, you find a rolled up piece of paper, it's Survivor, you're going to take it. Like, it doesn't matter. You're going to take it. And it's interesting. There's like a complication that comes along with it, I guess, but it's like, it's not going to create any tension as to whether or not someone will take a beware advantage. They will just go ahead and take it. Thank you. The other one is shout out to Shot in the Dark for being so consistently meaningless. Every time someone does it, I don't care if it's 1 in 6. You're just sitting there completely certain that it's never going to pay off ever. Like, it's never going to be interesting. It might as well not exist. I just feel like a random 1 in 6 thing, it's like, It so rarely will happen, and it certainly will not happen when it's like dramatically interesting. Maybe I'm wrong, and at some point in, you know, the 2030s, there will be a Shot in the Dark that like pays off in an entertaining fashion, but it's just this massive, like, every time anticlimax of Jeff unrolling the same sad scroll that says you're not safe, not safe. And then move on.
I do wonder if it never comes to fruition. Let's say it never saves anybody in the season. Will they ever bring it back?
I think there's a very good chance they minimize the chances next time. Like, I think
make
they're like
even less possible.
Yeah, those be like, no, to me, I guess like increase the chances. Yeah, I'm not sure what direction.
Oh, make it more possible. More likely to happen.
Oh, it's 1 in 4 now. Like, they want it to happen, which again, to Justin's point, makes it even more funny is that this is the football that keeps getting yanked away from Charlie Brown Probst. Is like, yeah. we got to get someone to guarantee their safety by risking their vote. And we've now had it. I think we've had it 4 or 5 times and it hasn't worked every single time,
which is not a statistical anomaly in as much as I understand statistics. It's just not interesting, right? Like the interesting way of handling, like when you have things like exile, that's an interesting way of handling people getting voted off because it's like there's some sort of ramifications for it. I just don't feel like a straight up and down 1 in 6 chance is ever going to be that interesting, you know, like even like it, almost all the time it won't happen. And when it does, it's going to feel sort of random. Like, I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of those, like straight up and down, similar to how I feel about the hourglass. Give me
a
hammer.
Did you like the improvements on it? Or was it like dressing up a turd?
Those Applebee's.
If you're going to be safe, you're going to smash it. 100% of the time. Yeah. Like, it's not, it's just like the advantages. Like, yeah, first of all, you probably smash it because it would be like pretty fun and you've been bored for a long time. Like, that's probably the most entertaining thing that will happen to you in quite some time. Like, yeah, I'm gonna smash it just for something to do. But like, if you can be safe, you do it. Like, you do that. Like, it doesn't, no one's gonna throw you a parade because you kept things the way they were. Like, it's just a freebie. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting idea that where they should remove them from the equation. If you remove your own safety, then it might be an interesting, like, who am I going to upset the most? Who do I care about? Like that, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But if you could preserve yourself, you do it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's one of the changes I thought they were going to make because we saw some tweaks along the way between 41 and 42, like Applebee's, obviously.
More Applebee's, in the game.
Yep. I was really hoping they would do that. That was, you're safe regardless. All right. Now. Right.
Don't worry about you. Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Because then their personal stake in terms of safety, which is the number one thing that everybody cares about out there, is out of the equation.
And look, no,
but they don't
want
to do that, right? Because then it's like
they want people to smash it.
They want people to smash it for sure. But they also like, I don't think they ever like the idea of somebody getting a free pass for a week. You know what I mean? Then it becomes, too easy to get to get by. And I don't think they want that. But I would argue that smashing the thing is basically you're giving them free immunity anyway, because they're definitely going to do whatever makes them immune because it's Survivor.
You're just delaying the inevitable. I mean, look no further than the fact that Roxroy, who we just spoke about, is the most like resolute person we have seen on Survivor in quite some time, still smashed it, still changed up the game because he's like, oh, I'm safe. OK, this is a no brainer. Like, let me just smash it. It doesn't even matter what my possible strategy is. I'm going to be safe no matter what.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Tori here. Tori, yet another big character. The cockroach, as she calls herself, has been squashed. Justin, what have been your thoughts about Tori this season? Because I know that she herself would say she was all over the place.
I found her sort of. See, this is where it always starts to feel, because people get edits and whatever. It's probably not reflective of who she is as a human being. I couldn't care less about Tori. I just feel like Tori is like, talk about somebody who feels like a Survivor throwback. Like somebody why is Tori on? Like, Tori feels like on the show so to contrast other people from how they're different from Tori. It's just like, I don't care. I don't think Tori was that interesting. I was happy to seem to be roundly disliked. I did love, though, it was all worth it for the beat where she was like, I do want to know why you're going to vote for me. And Jonathan was like, you lied to me. And she's like, okay. Yes, did do
you
that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, did do that for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't love, like, Tori, you know, as much as she was able to scramble out of literally every bad situation she was. Like, she knew she was cornered, but I agree. I love going down the fiery line and being like, can I just hear why? They give her all the reasons why. She's like, that is valid. Okay.
Yes, correct.
I will grab my bag. Thank you very much.
I will play my shot in the dark. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, I had Tori making the jury, actually going out in about this place. I would say that she would get in socially early on her tribe, even casting some throwaway votes because she's gotten so close to people. I would say that she eventually does begin to get into it with various people on her tribe. She ends up getting into like a tie vote and a deadlock situation. Oh, right. That's where poor Daniel Strunk drew the rock in my simulation before. And despite surviving, she can't get into power. She votes in the minority and then is voted out summarily. Her closest ally was Mariah. Speak of, remember her. Her enemy was Lindsay. The randomly generated phrase I had for Tori was, don't even look at me.
Okay, that fits somehow.
She didn't want people to look at her. She wanted to constantly be avoided in terms of targeting. So,
all right. Well, you definitely had the AI had a better prediction than what my brain could come up with. So I did have her going pre-jury. I said that the blue tribe would struggle to become immune in the pre-merge and Tori's intense personality would set her apart from the herd. I also said that Tori's chaotic gameplay seemed perfect for the Moderna era of Survivor, but she couldn't lay low when Drea advisored her to stay calm and take the target off her back. Despite her anti-anti-buddy-but-me stance, she is unable to throw the target elsewhere before tribal. She is boosted right out of the game. She obviously does not use her shot in the dark. Her ally was Drea. Her enemy was Roxroy.
Wow, you had it all from Astro to Zeneca. You had it all taken care of.
That's right.
How do you all feel about the split tribal as it's been employed and deployed in these past two? Because like my gut is... it feels sort of like y'all wanted to not have a merge. Like, right? It seems so strange to merge and then unmerge right away. Like, I don't know. It feels more like when they used to go from 3 to 2 to 1, like this feels like an intermediary stage between just like one tribe. It feels kind of like a momentum killer. What do you all think?
Is it just a way to get rid of another person? Like, Mike, you might know better with the scheduling.
Yeah, so I think it's a way to do... Because sometimes when they have to do these post-merge double boot situations, right, with so many days, sometimes they do a, okay, you go to tribal council and vote someone out. Ha ha ha, you have to vote someone out again right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do that. So they started doing this in season 36. I could see the reason why, because if the logic is, okay... Like, they're just going to keep going down the line with these people. Let's shake things up and maybe someone will get swapped into a bad group. And it does seem like pretty much every time we've done this, there's been at least one person, in this case, Roxroy, who like was not necessarily on the bottom, but ends up getting hosed because of the particular configuration of people that they're with. And that's the reason why I don't really like it. I think that it just I mean, not to say that, like, I want to see a pagonging, but I don't want the natural order of the game upset just to produce those temporary fireworks. Plus, I feel like it's just so different to strategize in a tribe of 10 people versus 5, and then to have to go back to 8. It just seems like so
right. Yes.
Much of a shift that it feels, I don't know, too on and off for me to have to shift to that game and then shift back.
It also is troubling because, like, when you make moves in Survivor, a lot of times you're making a move because you're buying currency with another person, right? Maybe that's bringing someone on a reward that they didn't win. And you're doing that to like buy currency with that person. Or maybe it's voting out the person that they wanted you to, even though you didn't really want to, right? You're buying currency that you hope will pay dividends later in the game. And they would never invalidate an advantage or an idol in the way that they so sort of cavalierly invalidate that currency with these sort of like random shakeups, right? Because all of a sudden, why did I make all those decisions that was thinking in a longer term way, you know, rather than like if it was just kind of be snatched away randomly. And that what I think I don't I don't love about it, because it's like, it also makes it harder to keep up with like storylines in your head. I think when you're like, okay, never mind, throw it all out. We have to rush through two storylines of like why someone's getting eliminated, and also like show people strategizing and scheming and stuff. I just feel like it kind of invalidates decisions that people might have made before getting to that point in a way that feels kind of unfair.
Because it's, they don't know who's going to be together. So now all of a sudden, what a decision they may have made gets flipped on its head because the right configuration of people or the wrong configuration of people are together. So it really is, throws another wrench that sort of disrupts what we've, what they've been planning.
It's tough though, because it's like, I don't know, the results are sometimes good though. Like, we came into this episode being like, all right, here comes that male alliance that's going to take over. And it just so happens that, you know, they get the draw where five of the guys are on this tribe. So it's like, all right, well, never mind. You're going to have to vote one of your own out, even though like Romeo wasn't necessarily included in on that. So like,
at what point does it start to feel like Truman Show levels of like, you know what? You just tell me what's going to, I'm not going to try to plan till tomorrow. I'll just like play and try to win individual immunities and, you know, go from there. Cause you're like literally counter programming against me to break up whatever alliance I might have scrambled together.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's someone might turn to the camera like Jeff does and start shilling out Applebee's, much like they do in the Truman Show. So maybe we're already there.
I would love if someone tried to do that and everyone's like, no, only Jeff could do that. You're not allowed. You don't have the ability.
Stop breaking the fourth wall. Stop that.
That's Jeff's wall.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of selling stuff, yes. Liana, you've got a game for us, a doozy for us this week.
Okay, yes, we have a game that we're going to play. So this game we've played before. It's based off The Price is Right, called The Price is Rourke. Now, I know we first played this game in Heroes, Healers, Hustlers when Rourke went home, but the name has stayed. But the basic fundamentals of the game, we are going to be talking about survivor-related items for sale, and it's up to the two of you to try to guess the price. So, like I said, Price is Right, so closest to the actual price without going over. Typically, we go to eBay for these, but Josh Green, one of our listeners, sent in a website called the Vintage Survivor Store that is a story about how there was one particular very devoted fan of Survivor who collected a lot of memorabilia. Unfortunately, he has passed on and his family is now selling these items on a website. So if you guys are interested in purchasing some of those items, it is vintagesurvivorstore.com, and we're going to preview some of them for you today.
Oh,
do they still do the auctions? I feel like I haven't seen that for quite some time.
I don't know. So they do the auctions afterwards where like they sell the torches, but it usually happens where like the castaways bid on their own torches to try to get them back, because they have to sort of give them back at the end of this season. So it's not exactly given away to viewers some of the time. Usually it's just to like put it back into the hands of the people that were holding them for 39 days.
Okay.
So I have a link for this. So for the two of you to look at the items, if you want to see what they look like, also for the audience playing at home, the link is bit.ly/priceisrourke42 is the name of the album. So, all right, let's jump right on into this. So our first item is a Aussie photo that has been autographed. And the important point here is that it is a 4x6 photo. So just signed with his name, Survivor Cook Islands. So Mike, we'll go ahead and start with you. What price do you think this is selling for?
So this is interesting, because talk about vintage. Like, Ozzy has been on 3 Survivor seasons since Survivor Cook Islands, but for some reason just wrote the first one on here. So I guess this is in that rare space between Cook Islands and Micronesia where he could just write Survivor Cook Islands on there. The actual autograph itself is like a little basic to me.
Okay, this is what I was going to say. It's not an autograph. He's just written his name. Is this his autograph?
Does it count if it's not? It's like not a signature.
It's like literally just written in.
Maybe it's a signature.
I don't know. I mean, Justin, you've signed much more autographs than myself and Liana combined. If you wrote your name on a poster, would someone say like that's a Justin McElroy signed poster?
If I wrote my name on a poster, no, that's not my signature, right? I didn't sign it. He just wrote his name. Oh, my name? It's Ozzy. I know that. Easy. Give me another one. That wasn't hard at all. Like, you have to sign a lot of things. Like, my signature, look at any of our posters. Like, it's inscrutable. Mine's like a big J with an M-shaped thing afterwards. Like, Ozzy's just sitting there writing his name and all the letters in it. I don't understand. How does this guy do conventions and stuff?
Well, maybe it's exactly what you said. These are the answers to his test. It's like, okay, write your name, Ozzy. What show are you on? Survivor. What season? Cook Islands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like filling in like the Scantron.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, I mean, listen, people love Ozzy. This is also a very small photo, right? 4x6. I'm trying to imagine. That's like postcard size, right? A little bit bigger than postcard size. So I am going to say, I mean, listen, I got to go for the meme first. Like, let me start out $4.20 for the Ozzy photo. I think he'd like it that way.
Okay, perfect. So you have $4.20. Justin, what do you think?
I mean, it's a signed 4x6. I'd say like $15. I'd pay $15.
Okay, well, Mike, the meme didn't pan out for you. This is $17.95.
Wow.
Justin, this point goes to you.
Wow. $18. You could buy lunch with the money you bought for a 4x6 photo of Ozzy where he wrote his name and original Survivor season.
And didn't sign it, but did write his name on it.
He did. He did indeed. Okay, let's talk about the next item, which is also photo of Ozzy. Now, a few differences. Again, no signature here, as Justin pointed out. It's just his name written. But he also has a quote, never say die. And this is a 5x7 photo.
An increase of one inch. Ozzy would appreciate that.
In both directions. So, Justin, we'll start with you. You had $15 for the last item. Do you want to do that again?
No, I'd say $25.
Okay, $25.
Oh, okay, because this one's more personalized. You get. So this is interesting. Like, he puts the dash after this. Is he meant to say that, like, this is my hit catchphrase, never say die?
I don't remember him saying it ever. But, yes, it does look like a quote.
I mean, him saying die ever. So maybe he's just, like, living by it.
But I remember he said in Cook Islands, he did say mutineers are always the first to die. Maybe that couldn't fit on. Maybe we needed like an 8x10 for him to fit the entire quote in here. I don't know how I feel about Ozzy stealing from the Goonies, but here we are. So it's definitely more than 420. To Justin's point, I feel like the personalization, I guess, no, this isn't even personalization. I guess it's more personal than his generic writing his name and his address on there. But I guess never say die. I'm going to say, what do you say, 25? I'm going to slightly squeeze it under there. I will go with 23 after the South Pacific season he was on.
All right. Well, this item then, according to the two of you, is a steal at only $18.95. So an inch more in either direction and only a dollar more if you want this quote.
Wow. An inch per Ozzy. Dollar.
Yes. So you both were over.
It's a good rate.
So neither of you get a point, but we still have Justin at one, Mike at zero.
All right, let's see. What's the next Ozzy photo?
Ooh, no, we're done with Ozzy for now. I thought that was enough. I know, you know, humor threes, but I was running out of photos. So let's go with a classic here. The Survivor Sierra Mist trademark promotional bandana.
Oh, my God.
So, Mike, you're going to set the price on this first?
All right, Justin, you're more up on the fast food trends than us. Is Sierra Mist still like in production?
Yeah. My kids love Sierra Mist. Is this screen used or is this like?
Let's see. Let me look at if there's any other information on the website. It's obviously been folded. Yeah, no other. But it does measure 21x21 inches. So if you're trying to calculate based on the Aussie math, I don't know if that'll factor in here.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So nearly 2 feet here of Sierra Mist lemon lime action that you can wear across your head. Ugh, okay. So this is tough because like this is a relic. You know, before 7-Up, there was Sierra Mist as a sponsor, but it's not signed by Ozzy. So does that, how much does
but
that
neither are the photos of Ozzy. So
that's true.
It's
yeah.
not that much of a difference.
But neither does it have Ozzy's name written on it, which also apparently is a marker of worth. I am going to go with a cool, refreshing $8 for the bandana.
All right, $8. Justin, what do you think?
I feel like I wouldn't list it on my website for that little. That wouldn't be really worth the work. I think I would probably go 20. It's one of a kind, though. You can't get these at 20, 25.
Okay. So, Justin, I have some bad news for you. It's $24.95.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I like for Mike's poor answer. I don't want to give him the point. But
5 cents off. Ridiculous. Well, what about taxes?
That's true. I guess, you know what? I didn't include it says shipping calculated at checkout. So it would be most likely.
Is that why Richard Hatch went to jail? He didn't pay taxes for his Sierra Mist Survivor bandana that he ordered online.
That's entirely possible. Okay, let's move on to our next item, which is trading cards. So this is a Survivor trading card starter deck. And I know it's tough to read the back, but it includes 60 total cards. This is a two-player game, first edition, 10 castaway cards, a create your own castaway card.
What?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Immunity challenge, alliance cards, item cards, food cards, fortune cards. Obviously, the manual and an immunity idol card. So,
how does it work? Yeah.
I don't know how you play.
What are you playing again? Like, all right, my Sue Hawk beats your Colby. I get your card now.
Genuinely, I don't know because all it says is that it's a serve. Like, I'm reading the instructions on the back. Trading card game. You're in direct competition to see who can capture the immunity idol and stay on the island longest. So maybe it's like the cards that you have dictate the boot order. So I don't know. Look, you're thinking too much into this.
This says strength, wits, endurance, speed, accuracy, balance, swimming, and politics are all elements in the castaways must use in their quest to become the reigning survivor.
Wait, is this like Survivor or Elden Ring? What the hell are these stats?
Yeah, there's a lot of stats.
I think individual players have stats. Like, yeah. I'm trying to see, like, the Richard card, which you can barely see, there's sort of a list of each of the the attributes. And then
if you're a player, how insulted are you with, like, the Survivor trading card company for the stats that you're given?
Give me a 2 in speed? Come on.
Yeah, you see how fast I ran? I'd like to see you run faster.
All right. So, Justin, what do you want to set the price at?
Is this a pack? Like a single pack?
Yes, this is a single pack. The starter pack of 60 cards.
$15.
Okay, $15. Mike, what do you think?
I gotta think it's more expensive. Like, this is not a booster
pack. Wait, $14.94.
Oh, okay. There you go. Gotta go with their pricing methodology.
Okay.
I don't know. It has 60 cards in it. Like, that's gotta be a hefty chunk of change, and it's a game in there, as enigmatic as it might be. Like, there is a game, evidently. What do alliance cards mean? What do you do with them? What are the item cards?
We gotta get a couple of decks and play.
I mean, we'll see what the price is. I might have to buy it if the price is right, or Rourke. I'm gonna go with $30 on the dollar. I'll go, you know, $30.95.
Okay. So, yes, the 95 strategy. I'm glad that you've clued into this because that is a key part of this. This is actually selling for $8.95. Quite a steal, Mike, right, I think, for you.
Well, now it's a race.
There we go.
Who can buy it first? Okay. So, yes, that is $8.95. So, neither of you will get a point here. We're tied 1-1. The next item on the list, we're staying in the card game territory, but this is the 100 Survivor Trading Card Booster Pack. So this is 100 loose booster packs, which each contain 9 cards per pack.
So 900 cards?
So 900 total cards.
You said that on the fly. Amazing.
Cards.
I know, I'm no Jonathan.
Now, the other note of this is that there is a note at the bottom of the item description that says potential for season two contestant autographed cards in the Australian Outback packs.
Ooh.
I didn't realize we were going out of season one here.
But it's just the potential. Okay, so we don't know for sure if there's signatures here.
Okay, so if I just see Tina Wesson's name written across a pack, I'll know that it is right. Her autograph.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
100 booster packs.
Are we buying per booster? Or are we buying 100 packs?
You're buying, I believe, 100 of
who
the
would
booster
buy 100 booster packs? The entire point, I mean, I guess if someone's really like, you know, F chances, screw you, shot in the dark. I'm buying all the dice here and rolling them. Mm-hmm. So I can get at least one.
In for a penny, in for a pound. If you already spent $9 on the starter pack, you might as well juice your deck.
Yeah, so that's the question here is like, I mean, I feel like the booster pack would usually be like $2. But if you're buying 100 of them, you know what? I'm going to lowball this. I'm going to still say $2.95.
Okay.
For 100 packs?
Why not? They really
tried. This is mine. I got it. $3.95.
Okay, so you're saying $295.
No!
No, $2.95.
Yeah, that's what I'm scooping in.
$3.95. Yeah, okay. So
I see it. Okay, my theoretical guess is $30, but my actual official answer is $3.95.
Okay, so yes, Justin would get this regardless. So it is $74.95.
Wow. So,
yes. I didn't do the math of like price per card. I suppose I should
it would be
do
like
that.
74 cents, right? Am I doing that correctly? Yeah, around that? 75 cents per pack?
It's nine. Well, so there's 900 cards.
Oh, per card. Seven and a half cents per card.
Yeah.
7.5 cents. Yeah. The pajama game survivor edition. Wow. Oh my God. So you could spend like $100+ if you wanted the full set. I don't know how many friends you have, but you have over almost 1,000 survivor mm-hmm. cards that you could play with at your leisure.
That's right. All right, we're going into this a score of 2-1 with Justin in the lead. The very last item is described as the Survivor Guatemala treasure box, where treasure box is in quotes. So this is a box. You can see the top of the box and then what's in the box, which is a t-shirt. Okay, so we're okay here with a t-shirt. And it is a 8.25 inch by 6.25 inch by 3 inch box. I don't know if that helps. It's described as good for storing survivor buffs, bandanas, photos, trading cards, etc. So Justin, you'll be setting the first dollar amount here.
Leona, what is this?
It's a box. It's a box with a t-shirt in it.
With a glyph painted on it.
You definitely get the t-shirt. So you get the box and the t-shirt.
Is this from the show or is this just something somebody made? Like, this will be good for some of them to put their survivor treasures in. I hope I never die. My family has to sell these.
It does say officially licensed black t-shirt, but then it's packaged inside a custom box. So I think the box is homemade, but the t-shirt is legit.
It's either worth $1,000 or nothing. Like, I have no idea.
Nothing in between.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to say $49.95.
Okay, $49.95. Mike, what do you want to go with?
Yeah, like how much do we value this box, I think is what it comes down to.
Not the t-shirt?
How much do we value the screen printing job? Maybe on both the t-shirt mm-hmm. and the box. I don't think Survivor Guatemala, the Maya Empire, had any like branded merchandise that came with a box in tow. This does feel like a fan job here. So Justin said 45, right?
49.95.
I'm gonna go with, I feel like it is in the 40s, so let me go with $39.95.
Okay, $39.95. Well, this is selling for only $24.95.
A bargain.
Oh, I mean, the steal. Price of the t-shirt.
I know. I know. So definitely you can. They also, I think, have two different sizes. I just went with the default size or whatever. So there's multiple boxes. I think the t-shirt, because it's XL and L. So the box is, I believe, a standard size. But you could get that. Yeah, only $24.95. All right. With that, that finishes our game. Justin, you have 2 points. Mike, you only have one. So Justin is our winner here. The tiebreaker that I had created was all of the shot glasses from various seasons of Survivor. So I would have asked you some type of question. If those of you listening at home are interested, the Pearl Islands one is the most expensive, selling at $24.95, same price as the treasure box. The ones that are the least are Vanuatu and Palau, both selling for $6.95.
That's a pretty big disparity.
Yes. Yes, it is. But you can tell the order. So Vanuatu, it goes from least expensive to most expensive. Vanuatu, Palau, then All Stars and Amazon are the same price. Then Marquesas, then Thailand, then Africa, then Pearl Islands. So if anybody cares.
I thought maybe Pearl Islands treasure box would have made more sense because it is the pirate themed season.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
So it is just, again, a wooden box. All right. Well, I have some shopping to do. I actually have the website up right now. I'm dead set. I'm trying to buy this Survivor trading card starter deck. And Liana, we're going to try to play.
You can try.
I can't wait.
Oh, excited. No. I'm going to get sniped.
You've already been sniped, Mike.
No!
While you're the completely incorrect price of those trading cards, I was swooping right in behind you.
That's the true victory, God, I think. Is the Survivor trading cards. Well, Justin, now you have a prize that you can literally take home. But we are certainly the winners in getting to have you on for this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on once again to talk some Survivor with us. I know that obviously, again, the episode was interesting timing out with everything, but thank you as always for offering like your opinions, your insight, and especially your open mind to the goofiness that we throw you here on the BNB.
Most of my podcasts are very serious minded. This is sort of a departure for me, but I'm always, you know, willing to try to play along.
We really appreciate that. Yeah.
So for those that want to concentrate on all the sober musings that you have over the course of the podcast sphere that is out there, I know that you're in a very big moment right now, just intersecting in so many different things that are happening. You're on tour right
wild.
Now. Max Fun Drive is happening. So how can people check out everything that's going on with you?
The Max Fun Drive is happening. If you want to support me, you can go to MaximumFun.org/join, pledge some money. That'd be a wild thing to do for some of you to turn on a Survivor podcast. But hey, who am I to tell you how to spend your $5? And then we're my family. We do some podcasts and we are back on the road. And in June, we're coming to Boston and I think Foxwoods Casino in that area. I should have these. I should never talk off the cuff, like, because I actually never
just coming up with locations, like
just coming up with
Ann
like,
Arbor.
Yeah, here's a place I've heard about before. Maybe we'll be in that was right. I wasn't making that up. Foxwoods. Yes, that is June 19th and then 17th and 18th. We're going to be in Boston. We're also doing a virtual show May 20th, which you can check out. And also, my wife's running for office. Her primary is May 10th. You can check her out at McElroyForWV.com, although that is quite a stretch. She likes Survivor, too, if that influences your voting.
Vote for a Survivor fan.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, Liana, what do you have going on as well? I know the Drag Race is finally over, but you're still got other reality TV things that you're covering.
That's right. You can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Drag Race is over, but we're chugging along with The Masked Singer, which will be over soon, thankfully. But we're having a great time while we're doing it, I promise.
Yeah, very interesting cavalry of people that have been recently unmasked on The Masked Singer. A certain class of clientele this season.
Yeah, definitely interesting.
So you can follow me at @AMikeBloomType. As per usual, I did exit press with both Roxroy and Tori, both really insightful, really interesting interviews with two very fun characters from this season. Really encourage you all to check that out. In addition to everything else I have going on with post-show recaps, be it the Lost episode countdown, doing coverage of Barry, which just started season 3 with Deidre Lipsicus, doing some Star Wars stuff as well in honor of the upcoming May 4th. I guess something else we should plug is the RHAP live show is coming up in a couple days, right? From when we're recording this, Liana and I will both be there on Wednesday. So if you want to come wave at us, say hello, show off your Survivor trading cards if you have them. We'll be more than happy to play.
Yes, and validate any Aussie signatures / not signatures. We'll settle that debate if anyone's confused.
Yeah, if Aussie has personally written his name on anything you own and you want to validate with that, please let us know. We are very intrigued by his autographing tendencies.
I did a quick Google. A lot of times he just does Oz, so I have no idea what's going on over there.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, maybe this was like super early on in the Aussie origins.
You just want me to write my name on here? Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I know my name, no problem.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Now the point is like, just Oz. It's fine. I've done enough of these at this point. Like, you only get the two letters. That's all you get paid per letter. Get more inches if you want more letters. All right. So that's going to do it this week on the BNB. Next week, guess TBD. We're still a little bit in the lurch here because we have the live show stuff going on, but we'll be back at some point this weekend to talk about what happened over the course of Wednesday, both in the episode and at the event proper. Of course, if you have ideas for games, be sure to send them in, rhapbnb@gmail.com. And special thanks to Josh Green for flagging VintageSurvivorStore.com for us for this game. Again, we're accepting of any and all game ideas. That's going to do it for this week. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes. Will from America for his fantastic theme song. We'll be back next week covering episode 10 of Survivor 42. Until then.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.